All right, so today we're continuing on in our verse-by-verse study through Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. But before we even go to the text today, I just want to take a moment and sort of set the tone for what we're going to be talking about, because I believe what Jesus is about to say may challenge some of our instincts, right? It might press on a few assumptions that we've made. It may even make us feel a little uncomfortable. But not because Jesus is out of touch with the world that we live in. It's because his kingdom has always been different from the world that we live in. And I don't think the problem is that we don't understand his words. I think the problem is that we've gotten very good at filtering his words through our opinions. So my prayer today is simple. It's that we would resist the urge to immediately apply this to someone else, and instead allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts first. And I believe that if we'll come to this passage with open hearts and, as Jesus says, ears to hear, I believe God wants to reshape not just what we believe, but how we live and how we speak and how we love others at this moment in time. All right, so buckle up and let's go straight to the text. We're in Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going to be focusing on verse 9. This is what Jesus teaches in Matthew 5, verse 9. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Again, Jesus teaches us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." You ever notice how everything just sort of feels loud right now? I'm not just talking about noise, but about opinions, right? Every headline you read feels urgent. Every post feels extreme. Every conversation feels like it's one sentence away from turning into an argument. It feels like you can't go 30 seconds without somebody telling you exactly what you should believe, who you should be mad at, and why the other side is ruining everything. And what's wild is that it's not just online. It shows up in a group texts and at family gatherings and even in church conversations. And somewhere along the way, as followers of Jesus, we really stopped asking, is this Christ-like? Is this like Jesus? A few weeks ago, I shared online how it seems that everybody wants to be Jesus flipping the tables. And there's even been some memes that have gone out about that kind of stuff. We love that version of Jesus at this moment in time, the bold moment, the righteous outrage, the public stand that feels faithful. But I want to remind you that Jesus didn't just flip tables, all right? He washed feet. He touched lepers. He forgave his enemies. He absorbed betrayal and pain without returning it. And that part doesn't go viral, right? Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you belong to me, if you love one another." Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say that they'll know you by your anger. They'll know you belong to him by your anger or by your offense or how loudly you defend your position or by your political alignment. Our culture has a way of confusing outrage with godliness, offense with faithfulness, and really nationalism with the kingdom of heaven, which is, as followers of Jesus, is the kingdom to which we belong, right? And if we're honest, a lot of the time, we're not actually trying to bring clarity. We're trying to defend ourselves in our position, right? So we replay conversations in our head. We rehearse what we should have said in that discourse, right? We plan the response that proves our point. And in that moment, the question isn't, is this loving or is this Christ-like? It's, will this justify my position or my opinion? So here's the question we rarely stop to ask. Did that move us closer to peace or further from it? Did that move us closer to peace or further from it? Because Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the loudest," or "Blessed are the angriest," or "Blessed are the most certain." He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And maybe peacemaking doesn't start with flipping tables. Maybe it starts smaller and harder. like forgiving sins when it costs you, right? Showing mercy when it's undeserved, speaking life when it would be easier to speak anger into a situation, blessing someone who disagrees with you. That sounds a lot like what Jesus is talking about here in the Beatitudes. Now, that kind of obedience may never trend, and it may be foreign to the world in which we live, but listen to me, it looks a lot like Jesus. And remember, we're called to be set apart. That's what God tells us. He says that we're to be holy, set apart as he is set apart. Now remember, we've been working with a definition all through this series of the word blessed. So when Jesus says blessed, he's not talking about happiness, right? Or comfort or ease. He's not talking about those temporary feelings. As we've been saying, blessed in the context of how Jesus is saying it means those who are living under the favor of God, secure, approved, and aligned with his kingdom, regardless of their circumstances. In other words, blessed is belonging. It's spiritual positioning. It's the kind of life that God looks at and says, that's aligned with my kingdom. That's aligned with my heart. That reflects me and belongs to me, right? So when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, he's describing the kind of people who clearly belong to God because they look like him. And let me just say it plainly up front, okay? This may be one of the most countercultural beatitudes Jesus ever spoke. In order for us to truly know what Jesus is talking about here and how relevant it is to our current context, we need to understand who in this passage Jesus is talking to. When he spoke this to the crowds that were seated there on the mountainside, who was it that he was speaking to? These are people who are not living in calm surroundings, and they're not living comfortable lives. These are an oppressed people, all right? When Jesus taught this, Israel was not free. Their land was occupied by enemy forces. The harsh taxes imposed on them funded their oppressors. Roman soldiers patrolled the streets. Crucifixions lined the roads as a constant reminder of who's in charge. They are living under the weight of a tyrannical, conquering empire. And for generations, they have been praying for a Messiah, right? But when they imagined the Messiah, the one God promised to send, as spoken of by the prophets, they weren't imagining this humble teacher on a hillside. They were imagining a liberator, a warrior king, someone like King David, only bigger and more powerful and with more authority, someone who would drive Rome out of their nation, restore Israel, and make her prominent again. They were looking for someone who would flip the power structures, take back what was stolen, and finally make things right. So listen, when Jesus opens his mouth and he says, blessed are the peacemakers, this would not have been comforting language to them. This is unexpected. This is countercultural. This does not align with the emotional temperature of his audience at all. And neither does it align with ours, right? He's not validating their rage. He's not fueling their nationalism. He's not calling them to revolt. He's redefining what freedom actually looks like. Jesus is essentially saying here, the kingdom you are longing for will not come through violence. It will not come through domination, and it will not come through retaliation. And that would have been deeply unsettling because peacemaking feels almost offensive when you've been wronged. It feels weak when you've been suffering injustice. It feels insufficient when what you want is payback. But listen to me, church. Jesus isn't denying their pain, okay? He's not denying their pain or dismissing their suffering. He's exposing, listen to me, he's exposing a deeper bondage. Because the truth of the matter is, Rome was not Israel's greatest enemy. Rome was not Israel's greatest enemy. Sin was. And if Jesus had driven Rome out, but left hearts unchanged, they still wouldn't have been free. And so Jesus doesn't offer them a political strategy. He offers them a kingdom identity, a shift, really, in kingdom identity. Please understand that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. In other words, if you really want to look like my Father and belong to my kingdom, it won't come through crushing your enemies. It'll be through reflecting my heart in the world around you. And if this teaching would have been shocking for an oppressed people longing for liberation, imagine how confronting it still is for us today. Now understand, Jesus is not saying blessed are the peace lovers or blessed are the peace wishers or even blessed are the peace keepers. He says blessed are the peace makers. That word maker is really important here, right? Because peace doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't just drift into a situation or drift into the room. It doesn't just show up because we're polite or quiet or conflict avoidant. Peace has to be made, which tells us something immediately, okay? Biblical peace, the peace that Jesus is talking about here, assumes tension exists. Jesus actually promised his followers that it would, right? He told them, in this world, you will have trouble. You don't make peace where there is no conflict. So Jesus is assuming tension. He's assuming conflict. You don't reconcile people who already agree. You don't build bridges where no gap exists. Peacemakers, listen to me, peacemakers step into brokenness, not away from it, which is a picture of Jesus, right? And that's where this gets uncomfortable for us because peace is costly. It's costly. Peacekeeping says things like, let's just not talk about it, right? Let's keep things calm. Let's avoid hard conversations. Peacemaking, on the other hand, says we love truth too much to bury it. And we love people too much to weaponize it, all right? I want to say that again because it's so important for us to understand. Peacemaking says that we love truth too much to bury it, and we love people too much to weaponize it. Peacekeepers preserve appearance. Peacemakers pursue reconciliation. Peacekeepers often avoid conflict at all costs. Peacemakers are willing to walk through conflict, not create conflict, but walk through conflict guided by love, humility, and truth so that healing can actually happen. And Jesus says those people, those bridge builders, those reconcilers, those who refuse to inflame division, they look like the Father. They belong to me. They're a part of my kingdom. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that while we were still sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us, right? While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for us to change our worldview. He didn't wait for us to calm down. He didn't wait for us to get our theology right. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up or fix ourselves. He pursued us when we were his enemies. The cross is not God keeping the peace. The cross is God making peace, right? Now, biblically speaking, peace is not first a posture. It's not a strategy. It's not a tone. Listen to me. Peace is a person. Peace is a person. In Ephesians, Paul says that Christ himself is our peace, which means peacemaking. It's not about calming chaos. It's not about calming this chaotic noise around us. It's about introducing Christ into the midst of chaos and brokenness. Do you understand that? A verse that I really wanted to read as we talked about this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. I think this passage speaks beautifully to what Jesus is saying here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, this is what Paul says. He says, "And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Now listen to this. Verse 16. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." I want to read that again. "Because we have Christ died for us, and we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. Because of that, from now on, as followers of Jesus, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." That is so important, because what that means is believers no longer evaluate people based on worldly standards or on outward appearances or on social status or on political ideology or any human fleshly perspective. Okay, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded quite Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. He is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who, listen, reconciled us to himself through Christ, and this is so important, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has, again, committed to us, the church, those who belong to him, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, church, Christ's ambassadors, ambassadors of his kingdom, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right, so please don't miss this, okay? Peace happens when people are reconciled to God in Jesus. That reconciliation happens through Jesus. So as peacemakers, we're not just bridge builders between opinions. We are ambassadors pointing people to Jesus. Do you understand that? That's who we are called to be, to no longer regard anyone from a worldly point of view, but to be about the business of reconciliation. That is Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so as his ambassadors, we're to be about the business of pointing people to Jesus. God is making his appeal through us, not through outrage, not through arguments, not through political rants, through us who have been reconciled to God. And listen, I've said this before, but if we had half the enthusiasm for sharing Jesus as we do in sharing our political opinions, our flawed political opinions, this world would be a radically different place. We don't need to continue to sell our souls to failing worldly systems. We don't need to confuse earthly power with kingdom faithfulness. We are the light of the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent to build bridges to Jesus. Do you understand that? In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, Paul says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." You're not in charge of the outcomes. You just have the responsibility to walk in obedience to Christ's command as peacemakers, as reconcilers, as his ambassadors. Blessed are the peacemakers, those sons and daughters of God, because they don't just manage conflict or avoid conflict. They carry Christ, the hope of nations, the only hope, into a chaotic and broken world. They don't build bridges to themselves or their flawed opinions or false ideologies. They build bridges to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the only peace that will ever last, the only peace that has overcome the world. So let's not be a people who build bigger walls or bigger divides. Let's show this world who peace really is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, God, we thank you for who you are. God, you are sovereign creator of all things, maker of heaven and earth. You hold all things in your hand. And yet you love us and you pursue us when we were far off, when we were your enemies. You reconciled us to yourself through the cross of Jesus. God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, God, whom you sent into this world to bring the world to yourself. Thank you, Lord. God, help us as the church to truly have eyes to see and ears to hear. As we look upon the things of this world, help us not to get caught up in all of the false ideologies that are being built up. Help us not to get caught up in the wickedness and corruption and power-hungry viewpoints of this world. God, help us, Father, to represent Jesus well, the only hope for this world. Help us, Father, to be peacemakers, to love with the love of Jesus, to serve others as Jesus served others, and to build bridges to him, to not build higher walls or bigger divides, Lord. Help us to build bridges to Jesus. This world needs truth, and he is the way and the truth and the life. God, may we spend our time not arguing politics and other things with others, Lord. May we spend our time proclaiming the hope that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, forgiving others along the way who have wronged us, extending grace and mercy where it's seemingly undeserved, remembering how far off we were when you brought us to yourself. May we extend that same grace and peace and love to others. God, thank you for your patience with us. And with all that we see going on in the world around us, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and make it right. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But while we're here, help us to be ambassadors for your kingdom. Help us to glorify and honor you in all that we say and in all that we do. The world needs less of us in our opinions, in our pseudo-intellect, and whatever else we think we have, God. The world needs less of us and more of Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.